I ask you to stand as you are able in honor of Christ's holy word. If you have difficulty standing, just put your hand over your heart. In the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter the first verse, the word of the most holy God says this. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius, governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I've had a very interesting time this past week. I have been celebrating Christmas with the Sunday schools, the adult Sunday schools. Yeah. I was just going to let it go, Mike, but since you said it, the adult Sunday schools. And it's really funny because they play that game where you go up to the table and you pick a gift, and then the next person can either take a gift off the table or they can steal somebody's gift. Sometimes you have a rule that says you can only steal something three times, and sometimes you have no rules and it's a regular free-for-all. And I've watched these people as they get those gifts. And it's really funny. Joe, you didn't get a candle this year. Joe Plosser almost always gets a candle, which is hysterically funny because he hates them. I'm not going to tell you what's coming, Joe.
After the first 50, yeah.
Because he got one every year. But as I've watched all this, every once in a while, you watch somebody open their gift and they're not really sure what it is. Now, this is especially true in Leon's class because they like gag gifts. We're not going to talk about all those. But they do occasionally get things that people just look at it and they're not really sure. You know, what is this? My favorite one, by the way, this year was the one that John and Peggy brought, which had a wrench, and on the wrench is printed the words, "You can't fix stupid." I really want one of those. But anyway, you get sometimes these gifts and you're not really sure what they are. I want to tell you about when Gary and I first got married, in my early 20s, and I got a gift from my sister, Georgia. It looked very like this. Now, if you know what it is, don't tell. Because, folks, I didn't know what it was. I had no clue what that was. Okay, it was only open on one side, so three sides were enclosed. It was insulated. It was linen around this insulation, and I looked at it and I said, okay, this has got to be for keeping something warm. So I stuck a plate in there, but only two-thirds of the plate went in, and I was wondering what good warming two-thirds of a plate would be. So I had to find, you know, and I looked for things that you would keep in there to get warm, because, I mean, it was surrounded by linen, so I knew you didn't keep food in it.
A small dog,
yeah, a cat, maybe, I don't know. So I looked and I looked, and I realized it would stand up. But that still meant nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. I kept that thing, I'm just going to be honest with you, I had it for 2 years before I had a clue what this thing was. And then I saw one. Now, it was a tea cozy. Yeah, now see, I feel pretty good because some of y'all are sitting there going like, yeah, I knew what that was, and you're lying. And some of you are sitting there going, I didn't know what that was, and now I do. Because see, some of you all were raised like me. My daddy sold sewing machines and was a farmer. My mother grew up in an orphanage and worked in a factory. We did not have afternoon tea. I am 99.9% sure that a teapot had never been in our house. And I for sure didn't know what a tea cozy was. And of course then after I had it and 2 years later when I figured out what it was, I still didn't use it. I appreciated that my sister wanted to raise my cultural level. And I appreciated the fact that she brought me a gift, but it was a strange kind of gift. It was just a strange thing to give someone. There are strange gifts that happen. And one of the strangest happened just over 2,000 years ago. Because God sent the world a gift that the world didn't know they needed. In the beginning of our scripture, it says, in the days of Caesar Augustus, the Emperor Augustus. Now, Augustus was given the title God and Savior by the Romans. And I will tell you, the beginning of his reign was a golden age in the world around the Mediterranean, the Roman Empire. It truly was. Now, you know, Augustus wasn't the nicest guy you're ever going to meet, okay? But he did many, many wonderful things. The peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, his reign carried over after his death. They had never had peace for more than 12 years. They had peace for just over 153 years. Over 150 years, they had peace in that region. In peacetime, when commerce is free, you have a lot of prosperity. People were making money hand over fist, and there was very, very small amount of poverty. Very small amount of poverty. When you have peace and people have enough to eat and the culture is expanding and you don't have a lot of worries, that's when culture thrives. Music and art and entertainment and all of those things that we can do with leisure time start happening. It was indeed a golden age. So it's very strange that well into this golden age, God sent Jesus. In a world where military power had established peace, in a world where power was everything, when power was wealth, when power brought peace, when power, military power, national power meant so much, God sends as a gift to the world a baby who cannot even take care of himself. There is nothing more helpless than an infant. A human infant is the most helpless living being on earth. Baby animals can take care of themselves, sometimes even survive, but a human infant cannot. It was a strange gift. In a world that only paid attention to power and wealth, it's a strange gift. In a world that had refinement, where everybody knew what a tea cozy was, in a world with beautiful architecture, in a world where people were wearing fine, wonderful things, in a world where the rich were very rich, and the rich were looked upon and envied and catered to. Does that sound familiar? God sent a carpenter. A carpenter. Not somebody with a lot of money, not somebody in, you know, carpenter, but yeah, but he didn't have a big house. He didn't have influence. He did not have all of those things that the wealthy folks would have had. You know, if Jesus had been born into a wealthy family the way Augustus had, Augustus was born into a wealthy family and he was Caesar, Julius Caesar's heir and nephew. And he influenced the entire Roman Empire. And God sends a carpenter? It's a strange gift, don't you think? A very strange gift that is announced not to the wealthy. You know, the birth announcements didn't go out to the governor and the president and everybody in the Senate and didn't go out to the wealthy. The birth announcement was given to a bunch of shepherds on a hill. Some of the poorest people around. They were on the night shift, okay? Does that tell you anything? They were working the night shift. And yet God announces to them, don't you think God could have gotten a whole lot faster if he had announced it to the world leaders? Wealthy backers? But no. He sends this gift and announces it to shepherds. It's a strange gift. I want you to take a look at the Roman Empire then and now. The Roman Empire surrounded the Mediterranean, the cradle of what we would call civilization, Western civilization, wealthy. Wonders of the world were built in this time. Amazing things. But now, the Roman Empire is really just a little bit of land in Italy. On the other hand, let's look at Christianity then and now. Oh, you can't see that as well as I'd hoped. You see that little tiny X? Y'all see that? Wait a minute. I got a pointy thing right there. Actually, my dot is actually bigger than Bethlehem would be. That's Bethlehem. And I'm calling that the beginning of Christianity, since that's when Christ was born. Now you see this over here? All of this purple in the world are countries with at least 50% of the population claiming Christianity. The pink ones are places, right over here too, where 10 to 50% of the people claim Christianity. Only the gray has less than 10% of the population claiming Christ as their Savior. We went from Rome, went from a mighty, mighty empire down to this little slip of land. Christianity, on the other hand, went from a speck on the backwater of nowhere to covering the entire world. How does that happen? How does Christianity do that when the mighty Roman Empire fell in just 150 years. Folks, love wins. I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Now, Christians have done some horrible things in Christ's name. No one who was ever forcibly converted, did that ever work? It doesn't work. But when real Christianity's rolling, love wins. Loving your enemy is more powerful than shooting your enemy. Humility is more powerful than having a big army. Forgiveness is the most powerful force ever. And I realize that in America, Christianity is kind of declining because we have a lot of people who make a claim that they don't live up to. But Christianity is a force to be reckoned with because, folks, nothing can conquer the love of God. God loved us so much that he sent his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Top that. No missile can shoot that down. No bomb can destroy it. Hate cannot overcome it because the darkness cannot overcome light. The greatest gift ever given was a strange one. They began with the birth of a tiny baby boy in the backwater of the world. And the world will never be the same. Christians, celebrate Christmas. celebrate not just the gifts that we give each other and all that food that makes you have to let your pants out. And let's celebrate the greatest gift of all. The one that cannot be overcome. The one that never goes out of date. One that always fits. The one that doesn't run out of batteries. The eternal gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are amazed at the greatness of your gift. And we're further amazed by the arrogance of people who refuse to accept it. Because the gift they don't think they need. The gift they don't know what to do with. A gift that they just want to set aside and we'll figure out later. Lord God, may each person see the great love in that gift, the life-changing power in that gift, the beauty in that gift. We pray this, Lord, for all of those in the world and those that we know and love who have yet to accept the gift. It's a strange gift to be sure, but oh, how magnificent. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming here. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.